the seat of my big black jacked up truck.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game, and the last contest is live now. Sign up at ClevelandBrowns.com today. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and very excited to bring in now Dan Shanka from OurLads.com and OurLads NFL Scouting Services. And Dan, we are 3 days away from this draft, as your website tells us, 3 days, 3 hours, 55 minutes, and 58 seconds, as I say it right now. How do you see things shaping up for this Cleveland Browns team at number four? And you can talk a little bit about the mock draft, obviously, on your site to tie into that.
Well, you know, I think that we like an offensive tackle going in there at four.
Sure.
But, I mean, I can understand if Sammy Watkins happens to be there, that's going to be a major consideration. An explosive Paul Warfield for the old-timers out there.
There you go.
He's a little bigger than Paul, and got that same kind of explosiveness. But I'm going to throw another curve out there. If Sammy is gone and Jake Matthews is gone and Clowney is gone, I think that the pterodactyl from Texas A&M,
Mike Evans
is going to be an option there. I mean, this guy has got a wingspan that he'd go back to prehistoric days, and I think that's a consideration, especially with the two strikes on Josh right now, so Gordon. So, but we like a tackle in there because of the ability of the whole offensive line will be strengthened, and then now you get your quarterback later, what have you. You get your running backs a little bit later, and but now at least you got, you know, something to hang your hat on. I think that would really strengthen the offensive line. Whether, you know, whoever, you know, Ray Farmer thinks he likes the best, we like, Jake Matthews, our top guy. Taylor Lewan is second because both those guys are excellent pass protectors. I tell you, Greg Robinson is a very powerful run blocker, but he is way behind in pass pro.
That's the knock on him is that he would need time to develop that aspect of his game. Dan, let me ask you this, because in your mock draft, no quarterback comes off the board till number 26. It is Johnny Manziel to the Browns. No other quarterback in the first round. Is there a quarterback in your mind that if the Browns decided at four, hey, we are a franchise that has never taken that plunge, we need a quarterback that is worthy of that pick, or certainly has the potential to be worthy of that pick?
No. None in this draft. There's not a quarterback that should be a top 10 pick. I mean, it's just, it'd be ludicrous to bypass a potential Pro Bowl player for a developmental quarterback, because there's no quarterback here that's a franchise, you know, quarterback that you're going to say, hey, this guy's going to be a Hall of Fame guy. I just think that, you know, if you're going to be passing by those tackles, you're passing by some great receivers, some pass rushers. I can't see taking one of these quarterbacks ahead of any of those guys.
So, Dan, how do you rectify in your mind as a team the need for the position? You're sitting here with the Browns with only question marks at quarterback, and you've been in this business. I mean, you've done this for a living for teams. How do you rectify the idea that if we don't get a guy this time around that we feel good enough about, and in your opinion, they're all developmental, what do you do? I mean, you can't sit there and say, well, we'll get one next year, because I'm sure, again, you've lived that.
Right. And well, I think what you do is, you know, you make up your, you have your stack of quarterbacks. Some of these guys, Vic, are so close that you can put four of them on the board together and take the best, you know, if they all disappear. Then you take the third or the fourth one and you still be just as happy because, you don't want to grab a guy at four that, you know, you can get at 32, 33, 34, you know what I mean? And that could certainly happen. And I know that, you know, the quarterback is a sexy position, but I tell you what, when you see big explosions and busts in the first round, it's always because you take a quarterback at the wrong spot.
And Dan, you think we're talking, of course, with Dan Shanka from Our Lads NFL Scouting Services, 16 years in the league as a scout. And Dan, You talk about these quarterbacks as developmental guys, and you can group a lot of them together. Let me just ask you for your ranking on the top four, and then what do you really think the likelihood is that the Browns are going to be able to get one of those guys at 26?
I think it's a very realistic possibility of getting the quarterbacks there, because I just think, I mean, once, you know, remember last year everybody saying Nassif's going to go at 13 or something?
Right.
And I mean, there's just crazy talk going on. But, you know, I think that very realistically, Teddy Bridgewater could be there at 26. I mean, very realistic.
Teddy Bridgewater.
You know, so, and then, you know, Bortles, he's kind of the wild card. People like him because he's a prototype guy, okay? That he's the big, strong, developmental guy. But down the road, I mean, even his head coach said, he'll be ready to go in 2 to 3 years. And all of a sudden, he realized that, hey, his guy might be the top one in the draft, and then he kind of backpedaled on that a little bit. But I think that, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, extremely explosive release. He's going to be available there. You know, Mettenberger is going to be there. So I think there's going to be some players there that, in fact, we've got the Browns in a mock draft we did for the Browns. We have taken two quarterbacks. We have taken McCarron a little bit later after Manziel in the first round.
Hmm. Dan Shaka, Arlad's Scouting Service, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He comes to us via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Dan, as you look at this time of the fact that this draft is a little later, but this time of year, and especially these days, these final days, where it just seems to me that so many crazy rumors, lots of speculation is just pouring out from all quarters. Is it as much as you've seen in a long time, or is it consistent with what you know it to be when, again, you were doing this in the NFL and now doing it media-wise?
Yeah, I think it's consistent because, I mean, when I was with the Eagles, I was seeing these guys coming in on for these visits. I go, what the heck's this guy doing here? You know, we're not interested in that guy. And then, you know, the guys say, well, Joe wanted to bring him in as a smoke screen. I tell you what, sometimes you waste a lot of plane tickets and stuff on guys. The only way, you know, you may be interested in it if they turn out to be a good player, and then down the road, you know, in free agency, you kind of got to know the guy a little bit in the meetings and things. But I think there's all kinds of smoke screens. I think that, but once the smoke is cleared, we kind of, and Vic, you've seen this over the years too, that, you know, all this hype and all this stuff before the draft, but then as the draft unfolds, you see what's supposed to happen. You know, the best players go, and the tackles will go up there where, you know, they should go, and the pass rushers will go. And then the quarterbacks, I think, and I don't want to say they're going to be devalued because the quarterback is always a prime position, but they've been taken so early for so long. And I think some people are going to start putting the brakes on that a little bit, and you'll take one where they should be taken and let them develop, because now if you take a guy too early, everybody wants him on the field, and it just, it's not a good thing.
And, Dan, when it comes to those who will say taking an offensive lineman, which we know, of course, isn't that scintillating pick, but the argument that's been made against it is, how much is that really going to help you win if you use the fourth overall pick on a tackle? And especially a right tackle. How much better are you going to get? How, again, do you deal with that internally? What's the justification when you're put in that position?
Well, first of all, you look at the big picture, which, like right now, you say, you know, we're projecting a right tackle because of Joe Thomas on the left.
Sure.
You know, Joe's not going to last forever. And so you got your guy to move over on the other side when Joe retires, gets hurt, whatever that may be. But now you got a seasoned guy, and you've strengthened your offensive line. And you're right, it's not a sexy pick, but you've got to have – I tell you, the tackles are such a premium in this league. I mean, it's unbelievable how it's hard to find a team with a pair of tackles to help, you know, strengthen your whole ball club. And a lot of them have one if they're lucky. And I know, like Arizona, they've been looking for years to get tackle. They brought Levi Brown in there, and, you know, and all that, and they just couldn't get, you know, then they bring Valdir in this year. But those tackles are hard to come by. And when you got a chance to get one, now you'd have a pair of them. Like I said, you better have some protection. I don't care who you bring at quarterback. If you don't have protection, or if you're not going to run the ball unless you got somebody up front to do it, and And that's what you got to have is a strong offensive line. I think people – you look at the offensive line at San Francisco, and surprisingly, Seattle didn't have that strong offensive line, and they did it with a great defense. But I think if you, you know, have a foundation up front, you're heading in the right direction.
Talking with Dan Shanka from Our Lads NFL Scouting Services. And, Dan, one of the things that there seems to be some momentum about in Cleveland is the opportunity, if somebody were to want to come up and take a Khalil Mack or a Watkins or one of the offensive linemen from four, to move down but stay reasonably close in that top 10 area. So how many elite players are there in your mind in this draft that if the Browns were to move down, that they could move down and still stay in that elite player category with their first pick?
Well, I tell you, I really think there's probably 7 to 8.
Okay.
Now, you know, so some people think there's 4, but, you know, there's another argument about Khalil Mack. You know, is he a big-time pass rusher, or is he just a real good linebacker? So, you know, I think you could say 7 to 8, in my mind, would be, you know, guys you'd really, you know, are Pro Bowl-caliber players.
And, Dan, when we talk about Johnny Manziel, and, again, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that you do have him drafted by the Browns at 26. All that comes with him, and I want you to, again, go back to looking at this from a team management standpoint. How do you manage the, you know, the enormity of the brand?
Well, I mean, the guy is a tremendous playmaker, but you have to keep in mind that, I mean, if you've ever seen him in person, he's not a very big guy. I mean, he isn't.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, he's got narrow shoulders, and he's one of the kind of guys that looks smaller than 5'11". You know what I mean? And so, I mean, and you take that your chance with anybody, you know, that they're going to get hurt. But you saw what happened to Robert Griffin III. It's just a thing that, hey, if you take the guy at 26 and you got to build your offense around them. I think it's just, you know, you've already got your Pro Bowl guy at 4, and now you can go ahead and take your chance at 26.
And when you look at these quarterbacks, is there a big difference in your rankings or in your mind, and how would you rank, say, Manziel, Bortles, and Bridgewater?
Well, the thing that we liked about Manziel is he was the best player on the field with the best against the best competition. And Bortles and Bridgewater – especially on the Bridgewater front, here's a guy that six of the teams he played against won 13 games, and another 4 in the Jeff Sandgren ratings that they rate the BCS. The other four games that they played were 100 or below rating, which, you know, so Bridgewater played 10 games against Sisters of the Poor this year. You know, he did not see any big time corners. He didn't see big time linebackers. He didn't see that stuff. Guys can break on the ball quickly and slap that ball away. Because Bortles, they played in the same conference, he didn't see some big-time competition either until, you know, they went to the bowl game and saw, you know, Baylor. Baylor did a good job. They got some people back there that can play and things. So, and then the other thing is Bridgewater, big game against Florida. And people said, wow, you know, he tore up their corners when he was a sophomore and all that. Well, now we find out their corners can't run after pro days and the combine. They were running the 4.6s. So he's never really faced that big-time competition to test that arm strength and to test his overall game. And then I think that's why his stock is kind of dropped with a lot of teams, because, you know, after they do their due diligence, then they see what happens.
Sure.
Dan, thank you so much for the breakdown, my friend. We really appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Anytime. I tell you what, I'm pulling for Cleveland. I hope all the picks work out.
Thank you so much. We are as well.
We love the love. is Dan Shanka from Our Lad Scouting Service. He comes to you via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And we want to hear more from you. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. He is Nathan Zagura. I am Vic Carucci. This is CBD.